live and local with Monica J. 99.1 is FM Talk.
Oh, man. We're going to make it a manic Monday for somebody because we are taking the Monica J. Show live and on the road. That's right. We are actually out and about, and joining me right now on the Monica J. Show on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley and 99.1 FM in all of Northern Nevada is Tim McGivney. Tim, thank you so much for being on with me with Stronghold Institute and Quality of Life Reno.
Certainly. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be out here.
Well, thanks for having me as part of the, what we're calling it, the field trip.
Yeah. I put an event on Facebook. We called it the Peavine Mountain Community Action Mission.
And this is the things that we've been talking about when it comes to squatters and the so-called homeless that are just taking over parts of Northern Nevada, not only along the freeway, but in the desert itself. We have... It's concerning a lot of people. We obviously have Channel 4 and Channel 2 out here with us, and they're covering the event. We've got a couple of local law enforcement, the police, the Reno PD are here, and supposedly, before we take off on our truck, we might even see some sheriff's deputies as well.
Yeah.
Tell me about the first property that we're going to drive up the hill here off of North Virginia towards Peavine. Mm-hmm. What are we going to see first?
So this property is a house up there that's all boarded up. A lady kind of abandoned it because she is scared to be up here anymore. She got another house down the road, and she's scared to come up here at all without someone being with her because the squatters have taken it over. They're dumping piles of trash up there. They're doing illegal things. I don't know if they're making drugs, but they're definitely using drugs. And they've got their waste from their RVs that they've just dumped off there. They're living in them and just dumping waste all over the ground. It's a wreck up there, and she's scared to come up here. She wants her property cleaned out so she can sell it.
Imagine that, being afraid to go onto your own property, and she's not really getting any help.
Yeah.
Now, I was wondering if, since we were publicizing this and people were talking about it, that people might take off, that the squatters would leave. And so we decided to come down yesterday, and we're actually on a different road. We were on the road that goes straight up Peavine Mountain.
Yeah.
And we were noticing a lot of motorhomes.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell because so many of them looked new. And then there was an old trashy one next to it or a new trailer. And then I noticed a motorhome that the wheels were completely flattened out. And it just, how do you know for a fact that people are squatters and people are just living basically on their property?
Well, I went and talked to them. We talked to them, Monica, and we talked to the different home property owners up here. We have a few of them with us today. Well, one of them with us today. Another guy's trying to make it in. But we talk with them and we ask them. And the thing about it, like you said, it's so right in your face. So this isn't really a homeless problem right up here. This is a lawless problem. They don't care. They're not scared. They're not intimidated by anything. They just say, well, this is where I am. Pretty much when we were talking to them yesterday, they were just saying, oh, come up here. Yeah, go ahead and come up here, like a threat kind of to us, and saying, go ahead, we'll be here and we're not moving. I've been here for 10 years. One guy said right back here, well, I'll show you his RV. He has two of them stuck together. Drug stuff, tweaker stuff.
Really actually made me a little bit scared. I saw a number of people coming up with their trucks, and they had motorcycles in the back, and, you know, they were obviously coming out to the area to recreate because some of this is public land out here.
Right.
So people bring their ATVs and their motorcycles.
Yeah.
And then I saw a couple of other people who were coming out here to target shoot. So we saw one group of people that was shooting handguns. Then we saw another person that was shooting rifles. But I think that it should be a bigger concern to law enforcement because the person shooting the rifle, I believe by law, has to be 5,000 feet away from residences.
I think it's a mile.
Or people.
A mile, yeah.
And yet, don't they consider the squatters in that? Because they're a lot closer than a mile.
I don't know. And yeah, that's the thing. We want someone who's monitoring this land. We used to see sheriffs up here driving up and down the road all the time when we come out here to shoot. Do you have any firearms on you? Yes. What are you guys doing? Shooting. All right, guys, be safe. You know what I mean? Always stopping us. What are you guys doing with it? And now what? It's just a free-for-all up here? This is lawless behavior. These guys are just up here. I don't know if the – I'd imagine the RVs are probably stolen. We hear all the time used to hear all the time on the news of RVs getting stolen and things like that. I'm sure they're just dragging them up here and not being bothered.
All right. Well, we're doing this for the live show today. So we're not having anybody call in. If you would like to call in and talk to my producer, Dan might be able to relay a question to us. I just don't know how good my setup is here. I know I can broadcast from out here in the middle of nowhere, but I don't know if I can actually take phone calls. But Evan's broadcast company is behind this 100% because this is not just Reno. This is not just Sparks. This is all of Northern Nevada. We've had a number of people call in from Minden and Dayton saying that the same thing is happening. People are just showing up in vans or in dilapidated motorhomes, and they're just picking a spot in what they think is the desert, and it's actually private property
and really
just staying.
Yeah, and really it's a United States problem. We need to have law and order. That's what makes our country run. And if we're just allowing lawlessness, then, you know, anarchy is what follows.
Well, we see the lawlessness every day in the pictures that we get back from San Francisco and LA, that people are just, you know, squatters have beachfront property now.
Oh,
and
man.
And they don't have to pay anything for it because they're, I think the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said, is, you know, they're living their life. They don't have anything, so they can't be hauled off or anything like that. And I was speaking to one lady who had a squatter on her property, and she actually had to go through the removal of, say, tenants' rights. So she had to, even though someone is squatting on her property, she told them to get out. She had to do the whole eviction notice thing, even though, you know, they weren't supposed to be there.
Yeah. I when I was out running around running drugs, the leaders of the different gangs, this one dude came up to me and he said, here's what you need to do. You need to go get some of the lower end guys, go and grab them and go and stick them in houses and get water and get electricity in their name. And then it's going to be a process to get them out. Then we can use these vacant houses. We used to do that.
Okay, speaking of what you just said there. That's probably what frightened me the most yesterday when we came out, was the fact that there was a rather nice looking brand new truck coming at us to leave the area with California plates. And I guess I'm profiling or stereotyping. I'm not quite sure which, but I don't really have a problem with it. But they looked like gangbangers.
Yeah.
They had the tattoos on the chest, up the face, and they were glaring at us, very angrily that we were there.
Well, yeah, because I'm sure they're running drugs through this area. This is probably their first stop. Either they're making the drugs out here or they're running the drugs through. And they have more money than you and I do, Monica, on the upper end. They make sure they don't have a blinker out and they're going to get pulled over for that when they're running 20 pounds of meth. You know what I mean? And so, yeah.
Because we
have money.
You know, right here being I-580 and then 80, of course, over here. These are major drug corridors.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
All right. Well, I hope you stick around and stay with the show. We've got about 20 people out here and a couple of news crews and law enforcement, and we're going to start heading up the hill and getting a description of what's going on. And we have a very special guest with us who had a very unfortunate incident, and we'll be talking to
Curtis.
Yeah, next.
Curtis will be right. He's right here, too. Yep.
Yeah, that's really tough to swallow when you're sitting in a car and it's firebombed and we really don't know what law enforcement is doing about it. So.
Right. They said they're trying to go through the proper channels. When Paul was just grilling them a little bit there. They're trying to go through proper channels, they're saying, but it just we don't know why. Why aren't they getting back to us on any of this stuff? And why aren't they picking up the drugs? We have a short video of Kelly's dad recording them while they were doing the interview. And he said, well, we've been calling. All right. So aside from the attempted murder, we've had these drugs here that we've been calling RPD to come pick up. Can you guys take them? And she said, no, you have to call that number. He said, we've been calling it for 3 days. She said, nah, I don't know.
Yeah. Proper channels don't really help you out here.
Right. And we're taught to trust our police officers that they're here to protect and serve. And it's not the way it is.
The thing I'm questioning, and we'll talk to the RPD throughout the show, and that is the proper channels are taking months and years even for anything to happen, and the squatters and the homeless are just getting around things and nothing is changing.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's incredible. And yeah, that's why you're seeing property theft go up and property crimes go up. That's why the guy finally got so fed up. He was, you know, they were out back here. They didn't really say anything to him. But after he found all the holes cut in his fence and all his stuff missing, his tools and his parts and everything up here on his junkyard right here, he started
salvage
getting
yard.
Salvage yard. I'm old school. It's a junkyard. What he needs is a junkyard dog.
Yes, exactly. So, all right. Well, stick around because we will be back with more as we broadcast live from Northern Nevada today, and we take a look firsthand and bring it to you firsthand on what's going on here when it comes to squatters and the homeless situation in Northern Nevada with 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica J Show on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley, who is also having some homeless issues and squatting issues, and 99.1 FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. Monica J Show actually out on the road today. We are broadcasting live from Peavine Mountain. We're at the base of it right now, but our little caravan's going to start off here in a minute. And we've got Paul White, who is with Quality of Life Reno. And Paul, this is a really nice turnout of just citizens, media, law enforcement, tackling an issue.
It's a great turnout, Monica. A news guy asked me if we felt frustrated about this issue. I said, not at all. We feel very encouraged that we're not getting the full truth from the police or the council. Little by little, it's kind of getting dragged out of them. But we feel that sooner or later, something's going to crack, and we're going to see that this idea of interpreting the Ninth Circuit ruling that you've got to let them sleep on the sidewalk if there's no bed, it wasn't designed to allow people that want to call themselves homeless to break any crime they want, go anywhere they want, damage anything they want, and say, oh, I'm homeless. And so we're very encouraged by the fact that more people getting educated about this is going to lead to forcing our police and city council to do something.
Now, I'm a little disappointed because we have two officers out here from RPD, and I just found out that they're not going to talk on the air.
Right. Well, the chief won't talk about anything. When we ask the sergeant, he's, you know, as an individual, very nice man, but in terms of his job, when we asked him why over a week later, PD has not come out to pick up the drugs after five requests by the people who were cleaning up a big pile of them, he had no answer. He didn't know. As far as why the chief would not respond to any questions, or why he would not explain why the rank and file say they're being restrained from enforcing the law, he said he didn't know about that. He couldn't come interview with you. This has got to change, Monica. These aren't laws. These are policies that
they
follow.
Well, I'm confused because Channel 2 and Channel 4 can run tape of you asking him questions, and he seems to be answering them as best he can. Yet when it actually comes to me talking to him, then it's no.
There's no good excuse. There's no good answer for that. They might have one and say, well, maybe someone was imitating his voice or some, you know, foolish excuse. But if the primary concern was how serious it is, like this man Curtis you talked to or are going to talk to, he was within a few seconds of just being blown up. How can the police just be so kind of matter-of-fact passive about things like that?
Yeah. Now, tell me about, you were having a conversation with, what is his name, Officer?
Sergeant Stallcop.
Sergeant Stallcop. And he actually runs the homeless
program. He runs the homeless division, uh-huh.
What was he telling you about the homeless being cited, and that they do get citations and they are supposed to move along, but there is a lengthy time period of how long they have.
Well, you're cited, and then you have months before you appear. And then if you don't appear, it's months before they finally catch you and bring you back in. And then you come in, and they offer you the chance to say, well, okay, I'll do it now. So you go back through the cycle, and it continues. Here's something interesting we're going to really jump on. The sergeant said, if every private property owner up here, or any private property owner, would sign a written complaint saying they're on my property illegally and I want them off, the police would come up and absolutely take them off the property. So we're going to act. We have that on tape. We're going to act on that.
Okay. But we have one woman who's actually afraid to come onto her property because of squatters out here. Why haven't the homeowners done that already? Do they feel intimidated by the people out here?
I don't think the police have gone out of their way to tell them that they could do this. We're going to encourage them. We're going to encourage them that we'll, you know, stand with them on this. We spoke to that woman this morning and said, you have to be willing to sign a complaint and they can come in and do it. And so she's supposed to be getting back with us. But we're going to really follow this one.
All right. Well, let me give you one word of advice. Follow the line as well, because when it comes to RPD and the Washoe County Sheriff's Department working together, there is that line of where the county and the city end. And so we want to make sure that whoever is signing that complaint, we can make sure that the people, if they're on county property, we get, or if they're in the county, their property is in the county, that those complaints also get to Sheriff Balaam and appropriate actions are taken.
Right. And we've talked with people up here in North Valley to talk about the homeless drug addicts coming out of the hills here to steal their stuff, to walk into their garages during the day, etc. RPD has this area. They know about this. What did the Sergeant Stall Cop say about it? I don't know anything about that. You'd have to tell me the particular case. It appears, Monica, that there's no proactive enforcement. They're very much just playing defense, doing as little as they're forced to do.
Okay. Well, the first property that we are going to go see is actually kind of a cleanup, and that is where a firebombing happened a week from Sunday morning. And we have Curtis here to talk to. What are we going to see on this property that, you know, are these people prepared for all of these trucks and everything?
No, nobody knows we're coming. This first place we're going to go is this big compound where the woman has been scared to go to her own property. It's been taken over. You'll see they came up, the property owner cleaned up most of the wreckage and they hauled the car off from the bombing. But we're going to head up and you're going to see numerous camps, illegally parked, discharging toxic materials in the environment, possession of drugs, all kinds of things like this. We heard some children's voices the other day. I don't even want to speculate on what's going on there. We know that Reno is a center for sex trafficking. But we're going to see a number of these places, and you'll have Curtis here kind of narrating it for you as Tim drives us up the road.
Yeah. You can't do this on your own. What does the community need to do to work with you? Because even though we're at Peavine right now, we are going to take a trip down I-80 and see them along the freeway as well. But what does the community have to do?
Well, that's why it's so encouraging this morning to see this pretty good turnout on an early Monday morning. I think that a lot of these people are North Valley. They realize this is going to affect them.
Oh, no, this gentleman in the big truck here, he was listening to the show the other day. He's from South Reno.
Right.
And lived in Montana and lived in L.A. And
well, you know, I think people are starting to realize that you know that saying, all it requires for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. And we've got a wonderful community in Reno, that our city council and our leadership with our police department is giving it away. And the community has the right to ability to vote, to speak out, to write, to talk on shows like yours. And if we do this, history says things change, and that's what we're looking for.
All right. That's what we want. We want history to change. If you want to find out more, if you want to sign up for the Reno Hot Sheet or anything like that, then make sure you go to QOL-Reno.org. It's qualityoflifeforreno.org, and make a difference. Start signing up for the newsletters, and of course, start calling the show. It's the Monica Jay Show. We are live, out and about, and bringing you directly to the problems of the homeless and squatters in Northern Nevada. We'll be back after this Fox News break on 99.1 FM Talk.
Nevada's news. Talk about it here. Call 884-9910, 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT. KKFT.
And that's what we're doing. We're talking, and we're going places, and we're seeing things, and we're talking with the people who are out here and getting injured when they're trying to clean up our county. It's 99.1 FM Talk, the Monica Jay Show live, and with me is a gentleman that I've been talking about for a few days now, and that is Curtis. Curtis, thank you so much for joining me here on the radio, and you gotta put that up there.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to finally meet you in person and talk with you. And first off, where are we at?
We are at the end of Stead Boulevard, on right behind Copart. And we're dealing with the homeless squatter issues.
Now, you were actually hired by a gentleman who I just met in passing and who just left because he had to go to work. But he owns the salvage yard over here.
Yes.
Off to the side, off of North Virginia. How did he get in touch with you and what did he want you to do?
Me and Kenny have known each other for about a year now doing the automotive business. Now, some of the squatters cut right through his chain link fence in two different spots and went in there, stole every battery out of probably 20 cars.
Oh, wow.
Drained gasoline, cut up airplane wings with acetylene torch, and never took any of the metal from the airplane wings. So I was hired to clean to stretch out the fence and fix the perimeter. And then I got in contact with the neighboring property owner, which the squatters were staying on. And we were able to get a move from that property. Problem is, they just moved to the next adjoining property.
Okay. Well, that's what I was, as Tim was my chauffeur, Tim McGivney was my chauffeur, as we were driving up the road here. And I was looking and I said, well, look at all of this stuff. Obviously, somebody's been here. And he stated that that was just lined with trailers and the people had just kind of picked up and left all their trash and moved.
Yes.
So does it look like that's the people up here that have just...
The fifth wheel camper that's right there was parked right next to, right up the hill where we ran them off. Same thing with the pop-up trailer. Both these people just relocated right down the road on another piece of private property.
Now, you've contacted that property owner as well.
We've tried to contact this property owner. Problem is, the owner, the owner of this property lives in Kansas City. So we're having trouble getting the outreach to this property owner.
Okay. What happened to you?
I showed up late, about 3 o'clock a.m., and I decided to take a nap and wait for my superior, the guy I'm working for, to show up so we could meet at about 6:30. About 5:30, 6 a.m., right at the crack of dawn, I get woke up to my driver's side back door glass shattering over my head and hitting my raincoat. Before I even open my eyes, I can see the orange shining through my eyelids. And at this point, I open my eyes and my whole car just goes woof, woof. You know, massive fireball. I couldn't see anything inside the car at first because of all the flames. And then when the main explosion died down, I look around. My dash is on fire. All my paperwork's on fire. My steering wheel is fully engulfed in flames with blue base, red tip. My seats are on fire. Back seat's on fire. Roof's on fire. Whole car's engulfed. So I get out of the car, and I realize I'm on fire. I roll on the ground, which was damp from the night before. I was able to get me out of flames.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah.
Good lesson right there.
Yeah, that it was. And then, you know, I realized that there was nothing I could do to try to save the vehicle at this point, and I went to run for help.
Let me see your hand. That's a nasty burn on your fingers, and it's blistered and is scabbing over now, and your ear is also burnt. And now you're having problems with your eye.
Yeah, my eyes have been real sensitive to the sun ever since this. And I believe it was part of the flash, the super bright, the brightness. It might have did something to my eyes. I have not been evaluated on it yet. But without really dark sunglasses, my one eye is just continuously watering. It hurts bad.
What was the experience like after help came? Because it doesn't sound very encouraging.
It has not been very encouraging at all. The help has been, it came more from the community than any government agency, it definitely seems like.
The people who are supposed to be protecting us.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted here.
No worries.
What is the end result? Are they going to try and find the people that were here? Did you see anybody? Can you give a description?
I did not see anybody run away from the vehicle. I was not, at that point, I wasn't even looking for anybody. I was trying to assess the situation, and I was halfway up the hill running for help by the time I realized, put it together, that somebody just tried to kill me. You know, tried to burn me alive in my vehicle, and I drive a retired police car. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
anymore.
No, that, used to.
Yeah, that thing is gone. And you can see pictures of before and after of Curtis's vehicle if you go to qol-reno.org. Now, there was actually something that came out that the Reno Fire Department was investigating. Have they spoken to you at all? Or
I have not had anyone reach out for me from Reno Fire Department. They have my cell phone number, and it's been a week and a day today since the incident.
Okay.
And no government agencies reached out to me to ask me any questions about what's happened.
What about Reno PD?
Reno PD has not contacted me either. Today was my first contact with Reno PD since the fire.
Because we're out here, and they wanted to come out and make sure that they were seen. And that's,
yes, ma'am.
That is really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
That is heartbreaking that you were physically attacked in the form of a Molotov cocktail. You were burned. You might have problems with your vision in the future now because of that. You've loss of property, and no one has contacted you. But from what I understand, there was a report made, an arson report.
Yes.
Did anybody explain to you how a report can be filed with no information from the person involved?
I had the contact with the arson investigators that day, you know, and it was obvious that this was not natural causes. You know, there was no if and two ways about it. When glass shatters over your head and your car just blows up in a fireball, it's definitely malicious intent.
Yeah. Somebody didn't stick a match under your car either.
No, it would have burned so slow at that point that, you know, would have had a chance to get a car out. This was somebody shattered a glass, fully engulfed a car, tried to burn me alive, you know?
That's bad. And still a week and a day and nothing from the Reno Fire Department or from the Reno Police Department.
Yeah, so. Nothing back to confirm if they pulled any materials from the vehicle and had it tested. Arson investigator did let me know when he was on scene that it would be incredibly hard to test for accelerants, being that how bad the vehicle burned and the amount of plastics that were in the vehicle. The whole car is going to test for accelerants.
Where is the car?
The car is now located back at my residence in Doyle, California. I had AAA tow it.
So they're not even really testing it?
No. I would almost assume that they would have, you know, that they should have towed the vehicle, but things have not went as expected here.
What did Kenny say, the owner of the property where it happened?
The Kenny was in sheer disbelief. We didn't believe, we had no idea that this would be taken to this level of retaliation, you know, when we're just cleaning up our property.
Because he's trying to protect what's his, and
yeah.
Okay. Boy, I hope better for you. I want better for you. That was your only means of transportation. So I am letting everybody know that you have a GoFundMe page that your friends, you did not set up, that your friends set up for you to help you replace your vehicle so you
yes.
can continue to work. And I will share that later on my Facebook page because it will be also shared from Quality of Life Reno.org, and you can go and you can find out more there later this afternoon, because we're all out here right now investigating the squatting situations, which it doesn't look as any physical bodies are here, but all of the trailers are that
yes.
you say actually just moved.
And
from
this is a portion.
This is
just only a portion.
All right. Well, Curtis, thank you so much, and I'm so glad that you're back and you're sticking with this,
yeah.
and you're not going to just say, hey, I don't need this. I can just go back to Doyle. Yeah. And
I'm not
you know.
Going to walk away and let it happen to the next guy, that's for sure.
Yeah. Thank you so much. All right. It's the Monica J. Show live. We are doing it live today out on the road, and we're seeing for ourselves the pictures that you have sent in and, well, the attitudes of elected officials not to get things changed and not to get these problems fixed, because we're blaming it on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, we're blaming it on the municipal part, the municipal court for how long it takes, we're blaming it on this ordinance, we're blaming it on that, we're blaming it on people just trying to live their lives. Somebody's got to take the fall. And we're going to make sure that it happens right here on 92.3 FM in Yerington and Smith Valley and 99.1 FM Talk, where we're taking action. Intimidated that she doesn't even want to go on her property. She wants to sell it now and be someplace else because it's gotten so bad out here. Which you think of Peavine as an
yeah.
industrial area, but it's actually pretty nice. And then
that's
the other part, John.
Officials are failing us.
Yeah,
whether
they really
the Reno
are.
Police
and
Department
you should have,
or the sheriff's office, or the county
you
health
should
department,
heard,
can even come out and make take
yeah.
action for the health code violations.
Exactly. That's what one of the we have a caravan of, it looks like 6 or 7 vehicles out here that are filled with other people, and it looks as though the news crews have taken off. The Reno Police Department took off. And Reno Police Department wouldn't even talk to me on the air because obviously they don't want anything said without superiors being involved. And it's just very disheartening that people aren't honest in their communications. They may be honest in them, but they aren't willing to take responsibility and take full control. So there is a difference with the homeless.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a difference with the homeless who are downtown and who need help, but the people who are out here in our trails, in our valleys, on private property, in our recreation area, I saw quite a number of people with motorcycles out here that are making it unsafe for
homeless
everybody
camps.
Else. Now,
yes, and
John, thank you
that,
so much. Oh, go
on
ahead.
On that note, if you think back a few years, how our community responded to the Westboro Baptists and those people coming in and protesting.
Yes.
It's time in Washoe County to start a citizens group to address this, similar to the citizen border rangers that we have on the southern borders, private citizens taking up arms and making it safe for the residents down there because the government's unable to address the situation, and I think it's time
for a similar
group in our parks, our bike paths, the Truckee River watershed, the waterfront areas, to have
exactly
volunteer groups of people patrolling that area to make it safe for the families and the visitors and the residents.
I think you're exactly right, and I think that that's what we're doing with the Quality of Life Reno. So it's going to have to change. We have to make a difference. So, John, thank you so much for the call, and I appreciate it. And right now, just for a second or two, actually, I've got Mike with me, and Mike is pointing. He's distracting me. He's going, right there. That's a homeless encampment.
Yes.
Right over there.
Yes, you'll see on your right, we have probably several RVs. If you get a closer look when we get up here, we have tents, encampments. They're actually using burning barrels to stay warm, and also barbecuing in the brush right out here, where it used to be the first shooting range on Peavine many years ago.
Well, and I see that this trailer is these motorhomes surrounded by pit bulls, and tires are flat, so I don't think that's going anywhere.
But then you'll see on your right here, we have more homeless camps.
Now, see, I was wondering if that was a homeless camp when I came up yesterday.
Yes, it is.
Because, well, gosh, that's kind of a nicer looking, you know, vehicles and motorhomes. How are people, now you live up in this area.
I've been here for about 35 years. I go back all the way to the time we used to have a substation, a police substation here on Stead Boulevard. With three officers, all three shifts. And as you notice, this community has quadrupled in size in 30 years.
Now, is this public land where we're at right now, heading on this road?
This is BLM property.
This is BLM property. So are they allowed on BLM property to have these squatter camps?
Not that I know of. I've contacted BLM, left a message with a couple officers. They said they might come out today. No show. I didn't even see a sheriff out here, where I don't understand the jurisdiction. I hike and frequent Peavine Mountain a lot, and did with my boys in the past. And every time we travel this road, there'd be a sheriff out here that would pull us over and ask us if we were carrying weapons. And at that time, you would never see any homeless camps.
Well, and that's something that we noticed when we came out yesterday, was the fact that people were out here target shooting. In one ravine, there was somebody popping off a revolver, but a little bit further up the road, somebody had a long rifle. Now, with the rules of the county, they actually shouldn't be shooting because people are squatting out here.
It used to be it was an open range up here on Peavine. You could go pretty much anywhere. And now, from what I've spoke to the sheriff and to BLM officers, there's only two designated spots on Peavine Mountain where you can actually shoot. And I haven't been to them because I haven't been out shooting. I actually go to the shooting range.
Yeah.
But
well, you can see where the brush has been burnt and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
From things that have started.
And that's our big problem. You know, I came out here with Tim, and he's with the Quality of Life Arena, and we toured the area yesterday, talked to some of the homeless people, the encampments, and you know, we're not out here to just push them and also offer help.
Yeah.
You know, and that's...
All right. Well, we're going to be right back with Mike, who actually knows this area better than anybody, live on 99.1 FM Talk.